The book of Luke chapter 24, if you would please. Luke chapter 24. Christ is risen from the dead. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to speak to you topically today. Now, this day, and when I say this day, I'm speaking of the first day of the week following the Jewish Passover. This day is often recognized as a day of resurrection. It is the day when Jesus was raised from the dead. And He has victory over death. He had victory over the grave. He was once dead, but now He lives. And because of His life and because of His death for sins and His resurrection, it is possible for you and for me to have a hope of eternal life. That although we die, we know that we too shall be raised. Our home is in glory and our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, for the Christian, there is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. Because we are saved, or as some say, born again, we shall never perish. The fingers of the flames of hell shall never grasp our souls, and the cold, sullen dirt shall not hold our bodies forever. We shall be in God's presence. Alas, we shall have resurrected bodies. One day we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We will one day bear the image of the heavenly, the Bible tells us. And this is the blessed hope of the Christian. Now for you who are not Christian, you've never been saved or born again, there is still hope for you. Why? Because Jesus lives. My friend, if you would repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know the forgiveness of sins. And then you too can share the same hope of eternal life, which many of us have already become partakers of. So then, my friend, what shall that body be like? We know what kind of bodies we have now. We're very familiar with them, but what shall it be like then? It's my objective today to consider the resurrected body. We who are saved are going to receive a resurrected body. What kind of body shall it be like? That's what we want to look at today. And the first place will be Luke chapter 24. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank You for the day and the privilege of being in Your house and those who are with us. Lord, we pray for those who could not be here due to sickness and providential hindrance, that You'd bless each one and meet their needs. And Lord, heal the sick. And Lord, You know, just protect and guide as only You can. And Lord, we come together today to honor You, to worship in spirit and in truth. We're reminded of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as I've mentioned about the resurrected body, we want to look into Your Word today and see what is described for us there. And so I pray that everything that's said and done would be guided by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that it would renown to Your honor and glory. We do pray that those of us who are saved would rejoice in that which awaits us. And that, Lord, we look forward with anticipation to receiving that resurrected body. And we joy in that. Father, we ask that You'd be pleased to work in the hearts of those who are not saved, that You would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus. We pray that You would grant repentance and faith today that they would be saved. That God, that they too would then know what it would be like to be in Your presence forever. So we commit these things to You today and we honor You with them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message today is simply this, The Resurrected Body. And so what I would like to do is I'm going to enumerate several things to you about what the Bible describes for us about the resurrected body. So, if you would, Luke chapter 24, verse 36 through verse 40. The first thing is, it's going to be a body that has flesh and bone. Now, I say these things, and by the way, when I mention about the resurrected body, the Bible teaches that those of us who are saved will receive a body like unto the body that Jesus had. And so, therefore, since His resurrected body will produce is these things and has these characteristics, it's concluded that ours shall too. So that's where I'm coming from. Luke 24, verse 36 through verse 40, we read, "And thus He spake, as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. He said unto them, Why are you troubled and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold My hands and My feet, that it is I Myself. Handle Me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And so the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came out of the grave, it was a physical, literal resurrection. You say, is that important? It's absolutely important. There are many who say that he wasn't raised physically. And he just came back spiritually. Not true, my friend. He was raised from the dead with a physical, literal body. When he appears to these guys, he says, I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. Feel me. Touch me. A spirit does not have flesh and bone. And by that, then, I understand that the resurrected body, then, will be made of flesh and bone. See where we're going with this? I think it's easy to conclude that. Secondly, then, we'll find as we look further into this passage and some other references that it will have the full appearance of the natural human. Now, that's just an interesting thing because if you read the accounts of Jesus being raised from the dead, and you can glance at the verses, verse 13 down through verse 35. We'll not read these verses, but it's the account of the two that were on the road to Emmaus after Jesus was risen from the dead, and Jesus joined with them and walked with them all the way to the city. They just thought he was a traveler just like anybody else. He didn't look any different. He didn't have, you know, like six arms or anything like that. He didn't have three eyes and all. He looked just like every other person. And so now I know that they didn't recognize his appearance, and I'm going to ask you to turn to John chapter 20 in just a second. And as we look over there, Mary didn't recognize his appearance. He could veil what he looked like, but he looked just like everybody else. And so you have to keep this in mind. So I don't think that the new resurrected body that we have, it's going to be made of flesh and bone, but it's not going to be some wild creature, you know. It's going to bear a human resemblance. That's the kind of body that Jesus had. And so if you skim through that passage there in Luke chapter 24, you'll see on that road to Emmaus that Jesus talked with them, walked with them, and they just thought he was just like anybody else. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Mary, when she went to the garden, and she had gone and ran back, and then she went back again looking for the body of Jesus. And what we have in this account in John chapter 20, and I'm going to direct your attention to verse 14 and verse 15, is that while she was kind of wondering what happened to him, we read in the text, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. So Jesus was standing there right behind her. Jesus said unto her, verse 15, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Notice the scripture records for us, she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. He looked just like any other person. And she thought, well, she didn't recognize his facial features. He was veiled in that sense, but she thought he was a gardener. So I don't see this as being something that you might see on some sci-fi someplace. The resurrected body will be a fleshly body. And I believe it's going to have the full appearance of the natural human. And because of that, and as we've already mentioned in Luke chapter 24, as I referenced that passage as well, stay in John 20, but it's going to have human capabilities, human capacities. You read in the text there in Luke chapter 24 where he can eat. He said, give me, is there anything here? And they said, here's some fish. And he ate it. And so it could eat. And so the natural Jesus, when he rose from dead, could eat. He could walk. He could talk. He could think. I mean, he just had human capacity in a resurrected human body. And my friends, so when we raise from the dead, when we have resurrected bodies, we also, I believe, will be able to eat, and we'll be able to walk, and we'll be able to talk, and we'll be able to think. Take that just one step further in John chapter 21. Skip a page, look over there. This body can perform bodily functions. It's just not someone laying there in a vegetative state. Well, they can eat, they can talk. My friend, what we find in John chapter 21, he meets his disciples up in the Sea of Galilee, and while they're out there on a boat, do you know what he does? He stokes a fire, makes a fire, stokes a fire, gets that thing going, sticks some fish on the flames and some bread, you know, and he makes breakfast for them. Chapter 21, verse 9 says, and as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. He could do normal human capacity, normal human function. And so he made a fire. He made breakfast for these guys. Will we be able to do things after we raise from the dead? Absolutely. Back up to chapter 20 And John chapter 20, this human body again, well, verse 26 through verse 29, I just point out to you once again that it's a body that can be handled. It is physical. Verse 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither your finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said unto Thomas, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet they have believe. A body that can be handled. Jesus told to Thomas, "Touch me." Now he already offered that before. We looked at that passage in Luke where he said, "Touch me, feel me. I'm not a spirit. I have flesh and bone." A body that can be felt, a body that can perform, a body that can eat, walk, talk, think. The human function. So what kind of body that shall be? Then if you would, turn. You're there in 20, look at John chapter 20, verse 19. The interesting thing about this resurrected body, and I don't know, I'm not going to take this very far. I'm just going to mention this to you. This body can appear and disappear. Now, I'm not going to apply that too much, but I do read it in the text in John chapter 20. And we read in verse 19, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, 'Peace be unto you.'" I see some commentators don't think that he just appeared. I think that he did. Over in the book of Luke chapter 24, you find a similar reference. Luke 24, 31. Where, in this case, where the two on the road to Emmaus, and after they found out it was Jesus, in verse 31 it says, "And their eyes were open and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight." Well, I can't explain all that. But what I find is, in my perspective, and we talked about some of this not too long ago, I know, maybe I shouldn't make a science fiction reference, but you know, it's kind of like Star Trek, you know, they kind of beam in, you know, and they appear. Well, I know it's not like that, but Jesus just stood in their midst. Boom, he was there. After their eyes were open, he was gone. I don't think they saw him walk off. The scripture doesn't apply that. He disappeared. This physical body, and that's beyond our comprehension because right now it can't appear and disappear, can it? But the glorified, natural body, raised from the dead, resurrected body, is one, Jesus appeared and disappeared. That tells me that the body that we have, when we're resurrected from the dead, will have the same capability, the same capacity. Again, I'm not going to carry that too far. Some talk about thought transfer, that we'll just be from here to there and all that, and I'll tell you, you're going to drive halfway across the country, you go, "Boy, I wish I could just beam over there." Well, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? In the future, I really think that it's going to be thought transfer. I can't guarantee that, but I will have a human body that will be able to appear and disappear. It just seems to make sense to me, because that's what Jesus was able to do. Now, don't carry that to the extremes. Don't go out there and say, "I'm off my rocker" and all that. Please be calm with it. Just realize the scripture talks about he appears and disappears. And since my body will be like it, I kind of have an idea that we'll be able to do that too. But within a capacity that will always glorify the Lord. I don't think you'll be doing a trick for somebody. "Hey, watch this." You know, I don't think that's going to happen. But we do know that this body can do that. Now turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. Another thing about this body, well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it looks like a person, it responds as a person, feels like a person, acts as a person, flesh and bone just like, but it's a resurrected one. What else can this body do? Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. You know this body can defy gravity? You're amazed about this appearing and disappearing. Acts chapter 1 verse 9 says, "And when they had spoken these things, they beheld while he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of his sight." Jesus, when he ascended up into heaven, he was raised again from the dead. He was on this earth for 40 days. And at the end of that 40 days, the scripture says he ascended up into heavens and his disciples stood there and watched him ascend up. None of us can do that. David Blaine can't do that. It's a trick. My friend, Jesus ascended up from the earth and got into ascended up into a cloud and was whisked away. That resurrected body can defy gravity. Well, how marvelous is that? Again, it won't be a parlor trick. But just realize and recognize that that's part of the natural capacity of a resurrected body. Then if you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 7. I want to make this very, very clear. Because we are human beings, we're in the natural body, and we know that this natural body, what's it do? It decays. It gets old, it wears out, it's going to die, it's going to dissipate, it's going to deteriorate. That's the way this flesh is, isn't it? Yes. But this body of which we speak of, the resurrected body, the Scripture describes for us that this will be an eternal body or an immortal body. It will be one that will never, ever perish. You want to live forever? You can't do it in the body you have. You don't have the capability of it. But if you have a resurrected body, you will live forever. Now, your soul exists forever, but Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, he doesn't want to be unclothed. He wants to be clothed upon. He wants that new body from heaven. And so you don't want to be a disembodied spirit. You want to have a body. Well, you can have a resurrected body, but it's one that will be eternal. It'll be immortal. Now, I've asked you to turn to Hebrews chapter 7 because here's a discussion here about Jesus. And it says in verse 25 something about this. And you can also gain great confidence here because of the salvation you have that will exist forever, because 7:25 says of Hebrews, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Jesus Christ, when he was risen from the dead, was risen from the dead, never to die again. Turn, if you would, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, this is very, very important because you can read in the Scriptures about resurrections, can't you? There are people who are raised from the dead. There was a couple incidences in the Old Testament. You know about Lazarus, the classic New Testament reference. Lazarus was raised from the dead. But you know what? All those people died again. But Jesus Christ did not die again. Now it says he gives us salvation forever because he ever lives. When Jesus was risen from the dead, he was risen physically, literally. Glorified, resurrected body, one that is eternal, one that is immortal, one that shall not perish. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," the body deteriorates, "we have a building of God, a house not made with heaven with hands, eternal in the heavens." I have no fear whatsoever that God is going to give me a resurrected body one of these days, and then about a million years down the road, all of a sudden it starts breaking down. And it starts to get old and deteriorate. Not going to happen. The eternal, the resurrected body is an eternal body. One that is immortal. Back to Romans chapter 6, if you question that. Romans chapter 6. I trust you see, I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm showing you Bible that tells us about the resurrected body. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 9. It says that, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Christ dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." You see that? We're going to have a new, resurrected, glorified body. How tremendous is that? It's absolutely wonderful, isn't it? And so we find that Jesus rose from the dead, never to die again. Look then, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because of that, you know, the Bible describes for us that we'll have victory over the grave. You know, as a Christian, I have a home in heaven, you have a home in heaven. We have an inheritance that's reserved for us. It's undefiled. It fades not away. One of these days we'll step into that inheritance. But you know what? If I died right now, do you know what's going to happen? You're going to carry my body out, you're going to give it to the morgue, and they're going to take it and fix it and all that kind of thing. You're going to pop it in the ground, aren't you? I'm going to be buried. But you know, that's just my body. When I die, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And so my spirit goes to be with Jesus Christ, but my body stays in the grave. But the Bible teaches there's going to be a resurrection. And one of these days, Christ is going to come back, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so then I know that my body is going to come out of the grave. I know I have a home in heaven. But while my body's in the grave still has victory over me to an extent, doesn't it? because my body still rests there. Ah, but when Christ comes back, when I am given the resurrected body, victory over death, victory over the grave. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I've asked you to turn there. Look at verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. One day, this mortal, corrupt body shall put on incorruption, and I will have a glorified, resurrected body that will exist forever, eternal in the heavens. Well, that's what the Bible describes for us. Turn, if you would, then to Revelation chapter 21. I also submit further unto you that this resurrected body will be a blissful body. Revelation 21, I ask you to look at verse 4. And it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You look forward to that, dear Christian? One of these days, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness. That's what it'll be like in that glorified, resurrected body. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I guess I should have had you keep a finger there, but maybe it's still fresh. You can get there in a hurry. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. One other thing I want to offer you about this resurrected body is that it's going to be a body that will be suited to inhabit heaven. You know, you're not ready to go to heaven right now as you are. You couldn't last, could you? Well, as soon as you got out of this atmosphere, you'd suffocate and you'd die. We're just not made for heaven, are we? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that resurrected body, what does it do for us? Look at verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." You just can't do it the way you are. But look at verse 53. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And we just read those verses a moment ago about when that happens, death is swallowed up in victory. I can't go to heaven in this condition. But when He gives me a new body, that new body can be in heaven and it's no problem whatsoever. Do you understand that? Does that help you? Does that encourage you, dear Christian, what your future waits for you? Turn, if you would, then to Revelation chapter 1. There are a couple things I want to point out to you, things you need to know. And then what I'm going to do is just make a brief application and a conclusion. I'll be done in just a few moments. I've mentioned this before, but I think you need to understand this. You need to know this. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and I'll ask you to go to Colossians 1 after that. But I want to make it very, very clear that the Bible records for us that Jesus is the first begotten from the dead. Remember I said unto you that other people were raised, but they all died again. Lazarus, he went back to the grave again. All of them died. They died again, but not Jesus. Proof of this, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and the witness is from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You see, the statement is that he's the first begotten from the dead. Colossians chapter 1. The book of Colossians chapter 1, the apostle Paul teaches the Colossian people, and he says in verse 18, Colossians 1:18, "He is the head of the church." It's a reference to Jesus Christ. "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from," or "the first beginning, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Jesus Christ is the very first one to ever be born or raised again from the dead, never to die again. That's absolutely essential. And the Scripture tells us that he is the first begotten from the dead. He is the first, but he isn't the last. Well, even after he was risen from the dead, the graves were open of those of the saints and walked in the streets of Jerusalem. One of these days he's coming back. We're going to be raised again from the dead. And the other resurrections, Jesus Christ, however, is the first to be raised, never to die again. Now I submit unto you, not only should you understand that and know that, but I think you ought to understand that there are some who shall be like him. Now notice I use that word some. I didn't say all, I said some. Not everybody, not every person that comes to this world will be made like to Jesus Christ. Now don't misunderstand me, hang in there, because I'm going to expound on this for just a little bit more in just a second. But I want you to know that only some people will be made in the image of Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Well, listen, here's the scripture, 1 John chapter 3. Let me read it to you, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, those who are Christians, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So if you name the name of Jesus Christ, if you're truly saved today, you know you have eternal life. We're not like we ought to be, but one of these days when we see him, we will be like him. But who's that belong to? Those who are saved, those who are his people. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, Paul taught the same thing. He's going to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. My body is going to be changed to be made like unto his. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you're there, you can look at it. Verse 42 through verse 44. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. But so is also the resurrection of the dead, he says. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And as we have borne, verse 49 says, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. My friend, I know I bear the image of the earthy now, but this body is going to go to the grave. It's going to die unless Christ comes back and changes me and catches me up. It's going to go to the grave. But one of these days, I'm going to bear the image of the heavenly. I'm going to have a resurrected body. And I'll be with Jesus Christ forever. Now, who does this refer to? It refers to those who are saved. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The words are being born from above. You have to have new life from above. Those of us who are saved and those who shall be saved and those who have been saved are those to whom the new glorified resurrected body will be like in the image of Jesus Christ. It'll be just like his. I look forward to that. I know that when I see him, I shall see him. And when I see him, I shall be like him, for I shall see him as he is. Now, let me make an application and a brief conclusion. First of all, I submit unto you, I've shown you biblical evidence or biblical description of the type of body that the saved people shall have. And I think that's important to have. And I believe it's going to be a glorious body. I think it's going to be a body that's to be desired. And the Scripture records for us that we, with patience, wait for it. You look forward to being made in the image of Jesus Christ? You look forward to that resurrected body? I do. But I have to wait on it. I have to wait. But I look forward to it. And the Bible, we look at the Bible description of some of those things. But let me say this to you that are here that are lost. You're not saved. You need to understand something here. You need to understand that you also are going to have a resurrected body. But it won't be one fitted for heaven. It'll be one fitted for hell. And I think you need to understand that. If you want to, you can turn over to John chapter 5. I'm going to read it to you. But there's going to be a resurrection of the lost. In John chapter 5 and in verse 28 and verse 29, Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. They that shall come forth and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. And notice it says, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I want you to realize, and turn if you would to Revelation chapter 20, and you won't have to turn any further. Revelation chapter 20. I want you to realize, dear sinner friend, that I made a very clear statement and said that some will have the resurrected body like unto Jesus Christ. You remember I said it in those kind of words. Those of us who are saved will have a new body, resurrected body, like unto Jesus Christ's body. However, those of you that are lost, and if you die that condition, you die and you go to hell, you know what? You also are going to have a resurrected body, but it won't be made like unto Jesus, but it will be a resurrected body, and you likewise will recognize what it is to be physical. to be immortal, to feel pain, to cry out, to shed the tears, to experience torment. We're going to read a passage here in Revelation chapter 20 in just a second. It talks about the resurrection of damnation. Those who are lost will be raised out of the graves. We're going to read it here in just a second. But you know, when I talk to people and I try to tell them about hell and the judgment of God upon sinners, they'll go, well, hell can't be flame because flame burns things up. But don't you understand? Those people in hell will have a resurrected body. One that will be on flame or be inflamed or on fire will be consumed but never be consumed. You say, well, how can that happen? Didn't Moses stand at a burning bush and he turned aside to see what that bush looked like? The thing was on fire, but he said, man, this is different. The thing's on fire, but it's not burning up. Is that any problem for God? You know that sinners will have a resurrected body that will exist forever, and it will be a glorified physical body, one that will sense pain. The Scripture tells about there in hell, they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. They'll be weeping, crying out. The torment? Hell's real, my friend. I want you to know that. So Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Is there a resurrection of the damnation unto damnation? Yes, there is. Revelation 20, 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friend, there is a future resurrection of all those who are damned, who will one day be brought out of the graves. Their physical bodies will be brought out. They'll be reunited with their spirits that came out of the holding place in hell. And they will have an eternal, glorified, physical body in which they will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity to suffer the torments of the flames and all that can be issued from out of that. Is hell real? Absolutely. Hell is just as physical. Hell is just as real as heaven is. And I believe that heaven is a literal place. Heaven is a real place. And one of these days I will inhabit heaven with a glorified body like unto Jesus Christ. But my friend, if you're lost, you will inhabit hell forever in a glorified body, not like unto Jesus Christ, but one that will last forever. So I say unto you, you need to think about that. You need to ponder these things. And so I would exhort those of you who are here outside of Jesus Christ that you need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. Because without Him, you will die. You will go to hell. And you will stand before the great white throne judgment. And you will receive that glorified body. And you will be cast into the lake of fire that's prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what the Bible says. I'm not trying to be scary. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm not trying to be mean. I just want you to know what the Bible says. And so I ask you today as I finish, which resurrected body will you have? Which resurrected body will you have? Will you have a body fitted for heaven, or will you have a body fitted for hell? Will you have the privilege of spending eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and eternal bliss and joy, honoring God forever? Or will you be in hell, in torment, weeping and wailing and crying out? Which resurrected body will you have? The Bible teaches there are resurrected bodies. Which will you have? Which will you have? Brother Paul, would you please come? I'd like for us to stand and sing. I appreciate your patience. And I pray that God speaks to your heart today. That, dear sinner, you'd recognize the future that awaits you unless God saves you and gives you eternal life. Oh, that you'd be saved today. We who are saved, that we might be encouraged of what awaits us. You who are lost, you might fear that which awaits you. We point you to Jesus that you might have eternal life. Father in heaven, we commit this time to you today. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word And I pray that you would work it in every heart by your Spirit. If you don't work it, it won't be done. And so, God, we pray that you would move. Your will be done. You'd save the lost. You'd encourage the saved. Thank you, God, for what you've done and for what you're going to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?